Hey, this is Jim Graham from the Masculine Journey Podcast, where we explore relationship instead of religion every week. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
It is a beautiful Saturday morning in order to have really, really exciting guests on my show today. And as always, God just blesses me out of my socks to be able to talk to amazing people that God's given visions for and stories and things. And so, you know, to start off with, you know, for such a time as this, we have my good friend Alex McFarland. His recent book, How to Defend America Before It's Too Late, seems a bit timely there, Alex.
Well, good morning, Robbie. It is such a joy to hear your voice, my friend.
It is always, and so I'm really excited to hear your thoughts along current lines and to get into this book and the things that really we have opportunities to pray like never before, perhaps, and what God's teaching us. So, and then,
Alex? Can we do something? I know there's a lot on people's minds about the country and everything, but let's do something a little light and fun to begin with. May I quiz you?
Oh, I always do something light and fun to begin with, Alex, so I'm very excited about you quizzing me. You know, I am the host of Robbie's Riddle, so no doubt.
Well, I want to play. Now, you and I are friends. We've been friends for a long time, and I think you know me pretty well. So let's play a game called What Was He Driving?
Oh. This sounds fun, because you may know Joanne's our other guest, and she's playing along really patiently, but I'm the Christian car guy, too, so this is extra fun. Okay, go ahead, Alex.
Okay, so before the privilege of coming on the show with you this morning, did I run my errands this morning in A, a 2008 Dodge Caravan, or B, a 2010 Dodge Pickup, or C, a 1979 Plymouth Trail Duster?
How fun. Well,
is there a prize?
Yeah, I'd say there is a prize. I will send the winner of this quiz, I will send a copy of my new book, The Assault.
All right. That's what I've been needing. So I would just hope that you took the trail duster, because did you say it was a trail duster?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a Plymouth, right?
Yeah. Hey, folks, Robbie and I are longtime car fans, and I've got this. I don't mean to digress here, but yeah, it's a trail duster. Now, for extra credit, Robbie, what is the identical corporate cousin to the Plymouth Trail Duster?
It was a Dodge Ram Charger, if I'm not mistaken.
You're good. Oh, wow, you're good, yeah. Wow, yeah.
Just really, you know what's funny about that, Alex, just to digress even further, when I went, I became the general manager of Crown Dodge in 1991, the year that the war broke out. The Gulf War with the original George Bush. But anyway, so I had sold Plymouths in 1972 and 1973. And when I sold Plymouth, we sold Plymouth Trail Dusters, right? Now, this is 20 years later, so I knew exactly what the Trail Dusters were. So I get into, we now have Ram Chargers there at Crown Dodge in 1991. So I sit down in a Ram Charger, and I went, oh, my word, they have not changed this car. Because I'd worked for General Motors all the years between. I said, oh, my word, they have not changed. They have not even changed the dashboard on this car since 1972 or 3. I mean, it's identical.
That's what you call a classic.
So you can probably still use a fender from every year model in between on your trail duster, because it's just, you know, it's what it is. That was a classic and well built.
Very well, but I'm a preacher. My life is to tell folks about Christ, but I do love turning wrenches a little bit, Robbie.
Yeah, I do too. So we also have, and I'm not giving her equal time at all, Joanne.
I'm sorry.
Joanne Vignair. And I am so excited. She has written her first book, Alex, and it's called It's Storytime, Meemaw, An Answer to Prayer for Stories That Point Children to God. So it's Storytime, Meemaw is, I guess, the way I should say that, right, Joanne?
Correct.
And I love that title, being a grandparent myself. And I also dearly, 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 dearly loved, my grandmother loved to read to us.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And I can remember those times, and she loved to read Bible stories. And they were just very warm, precious memories, because as you might guess, she was a little dramatic, you know. I'm just saying, it just might fall
in. Well, I bet, and the more dramatic, the better you liked it.
So, you know the rattle. Do we have time for riddles, Beth Ann?
It depends on how many you have.
I'll run, and since we're having fun, we'll just do that, and then we'll get on to the other stuff. So,
you got it.
Speaking of stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been reading Joanne's story in Braille.
Hmm.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, I am thinking that it's Jesus to the rescue. I can just feel it.
Yeah.
Come on, Alex, you can laugh. It's a little bit funny.
That's kind of a pun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So I just read a story, really, about the songs in history and the different, you know, musical pitches that they were sung to.
Mm-hmm.
So all the marches to battle were sung in the low to middle D, and the Gregorian chants were sung from low D to middle G. But it seems that most, if not all, of the pirate shanties, as you might guess, were sung on the high seas.
That hurts.
And our top story today, convicted hitman Jimmy Two Shoes McClarity.
Two Shoes McClarity.
He confessed today that he was once hired to beat a cow to death in a rice field using only two small porcelain figures. Please admit this
Salt
may
pepper.
Be... No.
Okay.
Please admit this may be the first known case of a knick-knack paddywhack. The rice, okay. Okay, they're in a rice paddy, Beth Ann, and you got these two porcelain figures. Those are the knick-knacks.
Oh, okay.
And then, obviously, the whack would be, where the cow... Okay.
In a rice paddy.
It's not as funny when you go
Two shoes!
All right, so why... Here's the riddle. To call
is that
in and
a
win.
Legit
yes.
One?
Just legit. Sort of. So why does the Bible have so many, you can think based on what I've been talking about. Why does the Bible have so many floors? If you can answer that question, which may have a pun in it, 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. And if they can do that, Beth Ann, tell them what they'll win.
If I can do this, I can. They will win. Oh, wow. We got so many great things inside the prize vault. Maybe Alex's book, How to Defend America Before It's Too Late. Maybe even a copy of Joanne Vignair's It's Storytime with Meemaw.
Here you go. 866-348-7884. Looking forward to your calls. And so, Alex, you know, I know that you are on 10 million radio stations, all sorts of stuff, you know, very popular right this second. You have an interview at the bottom of the hour that you're going to leave us. But, you know, what are you sensing is on the heart of all these hosts that are calling you? What are they thinking about?
Well, I think a lot of people are concerned for the country. I mean, they really are. And I would urge people to pray, really pray. I mean, the election is not over. I know it seems to be... pretty much decisive, but I think America is in a very intense spiritual battle. Donald Trump has stood for pro-life. He has stood for the nation of Israel. He has definitely stood for religious freedom. And you know, it is sad that because of his brash demeanor, There were a lot of Christian leaders that really neutralized the Christian vote. And
we got to go to a break, Alex. But you can see we got a lot of Alex, and we're dying to hear about Meemaw. We haven't hardly got to that, but the good news is we got a lot of Joanne coming up, and stories. Oh my goodness! So stay tuned. So much more Kingdom Pursuits, and we need the answer to this riddle: why does the Bible have so many floors? Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We are so blessed today. We really are, really, really are, to have Joanne Vickner with her new book, It's Storytime, Meemaw, An Answered Prayer for Stories That Point Children to God, as well as our good friend and fellow anchor here on the Christian of the Truth Radio Network, Alex McFarland. Which, again, he has his new book out, How to Defend America Before It's Too Late. And, you know, Alex, we only have this one segment left with you, so I'm going to spend, obviously, most of it with you. But my wife, she was like, Robbie, if President Trump fights this thing, it's going to kick off all kinds of riots. It's going to, you know, it's going to do this, that, and the other. And I looked at her and I said, honey, there's just, to quote one of my favorite movie scenes that since Sean Connery recently passed away, I'm going to quote him a little bit from, you know, First Night. He said, there's a peace that only comes on the other side of war. And I don't mean war from a standpoint of necessarily that I want people to go into battle, but the spiritual war that you're talking about is couldn't be more real, and that is where the battle actually is. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, right? It's against spiritual forces in high places. And to cave because we're afraid of violence is the last thing that I, in my mind, we need to do. God has an agenda, and we need to make sure that we're on his agenda, right? Are you still with me, Alex?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
Today is the birthday of Billy Graham, by the way, November 7, 1918.
Really?
And, you know, this life is a struggle, but the wonderful purpose, number one, is to know Christ. And to all of your listeners, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart and been saved, you know, obviously the greatest message that we could convey is to know Jesus. But then once you are a Christian, life is this wonderful adventure of representing the gospel, sharing, seeing people get saved. And, you know, I don't know, the fact that today is the day Billy Graham was born is really a comfort to me to, you know, just remind me that Christ is in control. Robbie, aren't you glad, and your guest as well, aren't you glad that Jesus is never up for re-election? King Jesus, he is on his throne forevermore, and in that we take great comfort.
I couldn't have said it, or I didn't say it better, so you said it wonderfully. So,
hey, and let me say one thing here. I was very blessed to live with both of my grandmothers, and I'm so excited to hear about the book by your guest. Both of my grandmothers were believers, but one of my grandmother Joy, my dad's mom, she was blind, and she would have me read to her. And she would tell me stories about the Depression and things like that, but she was a devout believer. And she would ask me, she would say, you know, since she went blind, she said, Alex, would you read to me? And I said, yes, ma'am, grandmother. And she said, read me that John chapter 3. How does it go, Nicodemus? And I would read that. She would say, turn over there to Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now. Let us reason, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. And Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, she was setting me up, and all of those verses came back to my memory, and I was 21, and I accepted Christ. And so I want to say your guest, I think, has a very timely book, because the influence of a meemaw and the influence of a grandmother can be very, very, very significant. I know it was in my life.
Yeah, one of my best friends always credits his grandmother. He was in the service in Europe getting involved in all sorts of things. She kept on sending him letters. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. When he came back, this woman came into her life. He got saved. But he always credits his grandmother with that faith that you know, it's just, it's super duper stuff.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, I do want to encourage people to pray for the country. Like you said, the Sean Connery quote, look, none of us like a struggle. None of us like to have to flex legal muscles or really dig in our heels. But, folks, I got to remind you, this country is worth fighting for. It's been my privilege in the course of ministry to, you know, see much of the world. And I will tell you unequivocally, this is the greatest nation in terms of prosperity, opportunity, stability. And yeah, the devil wants America to fall. One thing Donald Trump did that was just amazing, Monday afternoon, November 2nd, 4:37 p.m., he issued an executive order called the 1776 Commission. And this was just Monday. And, Robbie, I wish I had time to unpack how significant this is. But basically, the executive order of Monday afternoon, which got no coverage in the news, but Donald Trump said, public schools are teaching our kids to hate America, to vilify the founders, and we have to teach our history that America is great, we have accomplished great things, and we have to teach people to love America, not hate America. And so for the next 2 years, and he said, I will renew this if I need to in 2 years. So, I mean, he was presuming he would win, and I pray that by some miracle of God he does. But he said, look, since this is where we live, let's not denigrate America. Let's stand for America. And so I just ask people to pray, because the devil wants our nation to implode. We do not want to be socialists. And, I mean, how a professed Marxist could soon be our vice president, I mean, I'm deeply concerned for religious freedom, for 10,000 other things as well. So I urge people to pray for this country.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's an opportunity, and no doubt, you know, God is in charge, and he will intervene. And, you know, one of the benefits of prayer regardless, right, is we get closer to God. And closer to what plan he may have for us next, and our opportunity to take part in the kingdom, whatever that may look like. And quite often it just has to do with sharing your own story about what God's done in your life, just like you just did about your grandmother, Alex.
Yeah. Well, let me encourage everybody, every believer, understand that, you know, we have this privilege. Oh, my goodness, what a great privilege to witness for Jesus and to tell people about the way of salvation. And, you know, thank the Lord for Billy Graham and David Jeremiah and Robbie Dillmore and, you know, Charles Stanley. I mean, we have Franklin Graham. We have many great Christian leaders. But there may be a person that God has ordained that you lead to Christ. And so you can hear my dog just gave me an amen. But everybody needs to be a witness, you know? We can change somebody's eternity by telling them about Jesus.
Oh, that's absolutely the case. And it's a really beautiful thing. What's the one thing in your new book that you would love for our listeners to discover, you know, just to whet their appetite a bit?
Well, the role that morals plays in our country. I mean, in my book, The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late, and it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere. But I talk about morals and how the founders believed that morality was a key to the success of this nation. And I agree. And I talk about how to share with people what morality is, and how, if we continue to become a nation without morals, how dangerous that's going to be.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we can just see, not only do we have it at stake, you know, in our country, but in our homes, right?
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Yes. And if there's one other thing I could point out, it is the role of the church. Now, let me just encourage pastors, and I've pastored several churches and spoken in 2000. Literally. But many ministers nowadays, Robbie, they feel like it's inappropriate for them to speak about politics, and I would disagree. And by the way, George Barna says that more than 75% of parishioners want their clergy to speak about moral, social, and political issues, but only about 9% do. I mean, think about this. 600,000 ordained ministers and pastors, and only about 9% speak what thus saith the Lord about moral, social, political issues. And look, this election would be different. Our country would be different if pastors would, from their pulpits, say, look, we love you, but this is the Word of God. Sin is sin. You know, homosexuality, God loves you. Anybody can be born again, but homosexuality is a sin. Heterosexual promiscuity is a sin. So we must have a spiritual revival in this country. And maybe the hard times that we're in and the struggles and COVID and all of the, you know, problems we face, maybe this is really something that will, as Corrie Ten Boom said, will knock us to our knees so that we could turn to God and pray.
Exactly. That's a wonderful opportunity right now. So
it is.
Wow. I mean, it is for such a time as this, and God gave us the dignity of being the church, the friends of Jesus, right now.
Amen.
And
amen.
And you know, we have the honor, really, of praying like never before. So, Alex, as always, it's amazing to have you, and I'm so grateful that you came on to his book again. It's all there at kingdompursuits.com, but it's called How to Defend America Before It's Too Late, and by Alex McFarland. Of course, Joanna, you've been very, very patient. We're so glad.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And so we're really, really looking forward to this next segment with you. So thank you, Alex, and come stay tuned. The riddle is, why does the Bible have so many floors? Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdoms. And we've had Alex McFarland on, but now we get a chance to be with Joanne Vicnair and her book, It's Storytime Meemaw, An Answer Prayer for Stories That Point Children to God. But I still got one other little thing I got to do first, Joanne. I've got my good friend Amy Cabo is calling in. She has her show on at 1 o'clock today called The Cure. It's live. And Amy, you guys are going to be having internet crime today on your show, right?
Yes, we have Dr. Nisi Pelli, who is a dark psychologist, and he deals with online aggressors that, you know, cyberbullying and predators that use the internet to go after people. And with criminal intentions.
Wow. So what an opportunity, right, to get an education on how we can be more vigilant in that area and a chance to call in and ask for questions, because, Amy, your show's live and you love when people call, right?
Yes, I love people, period.
I know that's true. And I'm so glad, and I appreciate your show, and thank you for calling in today.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you, Amy. God bless. What a wonderful opportunity everybody has to listen to that. So finally, I can get into Joanne's story a little bit. So I love the part of the tagline of your book, An Answered Prayer for Stories That Point Children to God. So it sounds like it's your book started with a prayer.
Amen. It did. It's truly a miraculous thing. It is all of God, the whole. Start to finish, it's God. You want me to tell you a little bit about it?
I do. It's time. Yeah. Tell me, how did that happen?
My grandchildren were like almost 5 and 3. Family was going through some tough times. I was privileged to be able to keep them a lot of the time. and they asked me for a story. And I told them one, and it was the most awful thing you've ever heard. And then when I listened to a program on the radio with James Dobson, and he was talking about how important it was to reach our children by the age of 5 or 6 for Christ. And I thought, Lord, I don't have much time. My grandson's going to be 5. So when they came back and asked for another story, I prayed, God, give me stories of you. They need you in their lives. And God answered. And they loved it. And every time they would come over and we'd drive somewhere, Meemaw, it's story time. It's story time, Meemaw. So I'd say, God, give me a story. And he gave me a story. And this went on for years. They're now like 10 and 11. I told my mother about some of them early on. And she said, Joanne, you need to write those down. They're going to want those one day. So I began recording them. And only this past March, my journal was falling apart. And I thought, it's COVID. I'm stuck at home. Let me take them out and start typing them up, and I'll put them up for the kids when they get grown. And during prayer, as I was printing them off, God told me, have them published. I was overcome with the Spirit, and I said, God, you want me to do this? And it was an overwhelming yes. And thankfully, I didn't think about it. I didn't question. I didn't say, how am I? I said, yes. And that's where we are today. I say it's God's book because he gave me the stories. He told me to publish them. He guided me to the right people, Larry Carpenter's publishing company, who got me in touch with everyone else, and that's how this book came about. Yeah. I have no creative ability, and I can't use a computer. And it was frightening to figure out how to do what all needed to be done. God did it.
Yeah. And that's how we know that it's a great book. Right.
And that's why it's named it Storytime Meemaw, because I heard that so many times. There were times I didn't want to hear it again. But thankfully they did. They insisted. Half of the stories are true, based on true life events in my life, my grandparents' life, my parents' life, things that happened, and my children were shocked to hear that Meemaw was a bad little girl in school.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we're going to get to one of those. We're going to give you an opportunity to actually share one of those to kind of whet the listener's appetite. But first up, we got Clay has got a riddle guest here, so we don't want to miss out on that. But Clay, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Well, hey, brother. God bless you, and wonderful to talk with you on this sanctifying Saturday. I'm naturally believing that, you know, you're saying how many, you know, floors does the Bible have? It's got to do with something with a book of the Bible and a story, because there's a story in each. So I'm thinking it's like a storybook floor that could be the answer to the riddle.
Yeah, because that's the whole deal, right? Because the whole Bible's full of stories. So like any good building that has a lot of stories, there's a lot of floors, right? You're exactly right. You're a winner. Congratulations.
Well, you know, brother, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to take away from you or Joanne, but, you know, just to hear what Brother Alex had to say, you know, earlier, we really need to be in prayer with what's going on. And I heard something yesterday on Brother Steve's show. If we're so concerned and we're so fearful of what is going on, then the sovereignty of God, the Father, is not going to come through for what really needs to happen. And, you know, I've been really thinking about it and putting into prayer that this whole situation will come to resolvement, and God the Father is going to take care of it all.
You are exactly right, Clay. And thanks for your prayers and your calling in today. God bless. Thank you.
Yeah, amen to that. God bless you, brother.
All right. Bye-bye. So, Joanne, I gave you a minute to think so you could share a story, because I know everybody's like me, like, oh, I want to hear one of these. Let's go ahead.
I think it would probably take about 9 minutes to tell one of the short ones.
Just get started and we'll go.
It's called The Horrible, Awful Scream. Dad! It is a true story. It happened to one of our grandchildren. So I'll start off. Johnny and his dad were going crawfishing this fine Saturday morning at the Bonnie Carey Spillway. The spillway is an area used for overflow of the river. the gates had been opened to lower the river water level and help reduce the chance of flooding downstream. The spillway had been open for a couple of weeks. The waterway is completely flooded between the Mississippi River and Lake Pontchartrain. It was a beautiful sight to see. The water rages through the open gates with lightning speed. It rips through the spillway and empties into the lake. It looks like dangerous rolling white rapids. There's a frenzy of bird activity. Pelicans and seagulls are diving into the water for a feast. Large bald eagles take part in catching an easy meal as well, and they're instantly spotted with those beautiful white heads. The spillway has now been closed. The water had risen to 12 feet. It takes days to drain into the Lake Pontchartrain. The water level is finally down low enough so we can go crawfishing. Dad loaded everything up, and we headed to the spillway. We were meeting my cousin Ethan and his family there. The plan was to catch sacks and sacks of crawfish. I love boiled crawfish. Dad loves crawfish etouffee. Meemaw loves crawfish fettuccine. We're going to fish all day long. Dad even brought a big pot to boil crawfish right there by our truck for lunch. You talk about good. I don't suck the head, so but baby girl Julie sure does. She's a mess. We arrive. There are people everywhere. They already have their nets set. You can see areas of all red flags over there, yellow flags over there, checkered flags behind us. Our nets are purple and gold, of course. We're huge LSU Tiger fans. We believe purple and gold. Our nets are now set, and we are crawfishing. Oh, here comes little Ethan, hiking in his red rubber boots.
Uh-oh. Sounds like trouble for Ethan, maybe. We'll find out on the next on the side of these commercials. Joanne, that's spectacular. I myself am sitting on, I know that something's going to happen here. And I have a feeling from my Braille reading earlier that, you know, I can feel Jesus to the rescue somehow. So we'll be right back with more on Kingdom Pursuits. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We're listening to Joanne Vickner tell her story in a story time, Meemaw, answered prayer for stories that point children to God. And I don't want to take any more time because we don't want to miss the end of this story. So go, Joanne.
Okay. So here comes little Ethan hiking in his red rubber boots. Uncle Simon is leading the way down. Ethan, 4 years old, is following him. And Allie is following Ethan. Allie, short for Allison, is 8 years old. Aunt Liz is still gathering items from the truck. Uncle Simon is telling them, follow me. Be careful. Now stay close. You see, there are a lot of culverts under the dirt roads in the spillway. You can't see them. There's still plenty of water rushing around dirt mounds. Deep ponds everywhere continue to drain underground. The moving water shoots through a maze of culverts and out to the lake. The ground is unlevel. Uncle Simon said, stay on high ground, guys. Watch your step. I could hear them, but I wasn't watching them. I was busy helping my dad lift our nets. We had crawfish all over the place. We had never caught so many crawfish so fast. Meemaw's going to love this, I thought. Suddenly, I heard this horrible, awful scream. Dad! Dad! I got goosebumps. Who could be screaming? Why is she screaming? I looked around. I saw Allie. She was hysterical. She's screaming uncontrollably over and over. It's Ethan. He's gone. He's gone. Uncle Simon dropped everything and turned around. In a flash, Ethan had vanished. Aunt Liz screamed, my baby, Simon, find him. People swarmed into the area. Everybody was bobbing up and down in the ponds trying to find Ethan, even me. I could feel the current try to pull my watch off my wrist. My shirt was pulled ever so tightly against my neck. The water didn't look that swift, but it was. Allie was too upset and too small to help. She kept saying, "Please save my brother." A stranger nearby called the cops. The cops arrived and called for an ambulance. It looked hopeless. No one can survive staying underwater that long. Uncle Simon turned pale white. He was frantically running, diving, reaching, and absolutely nonstop praying, "God, help me. I have to find Ethan." The ambulance arrived on the scene. It had been a long time since Ethan went under the water. The people around us started crying. They believed Ethan had drowned, but not his mom. She never stopped praying. She told God she didn't care how bad the situation appeared. She knew he was God. She said, "You are the miracle maker. You gave me my son, and I haven't finished raising him. God, I trust you. You are my help. You are my hope. I want to see the victory now. I need it now, dear God." At that very moment, Uncle Simon saw one of Ethan's little red boots pop up out of the water a few feet away. As it floated off, Uncle Simon ran with all his might to get to the spot where it came up. The water was up to his hips. He had to fight hard to free his feet from the thick, gooey mud that closed in on them with each step. He reached the spot. "Dear God, help me. Where's Ethan?" Under the water, Simon went. He felt around. He felt a culvert. He reached in. He felt something like a foot, but he couldn't get a grip. He was out of air. Uncle Simon quickly came up, took a deep breath, and frantically went under the water again. His head was underwater, but his feet were kicking something awful above the water. He reached in the culvert. He felt a leg. He knew it was Ethan's leg. This was the most scared Uncle Simon had ever been in his life. What if, he thought. He ripped Ethan right out of that culvert. Ethan was alive. He wasn't even crying. He said, "Daddy, I was in a tunnel going really fast. I was going this way and that way, and I couldn't get out." Ethan didn't have a scratch on him. Aunt Liz started praising God and ran to grab Ethan. She prayed, "Thank you for this miracle. Thank you for your blessing." She snatched Ethan up and loved on him. Aunt Liz got into the ambulance with the paramedics and rode with Ethan to the hospital to be checked out. When the ambulance pulled out and turned on the sirens, poor Uncle Simon collapsed. His legs just gave out. He realized that God had just performed a miracle for him, for his family. He was overwhelmed with gratitude. I was standing by Uncle Simon and Allie. I patted his shoulder and said,
Joanne, I hate to jump in on you. However, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Like, if you're not sold on this book yet, I don't know what to tell you. You know, the name of the book, it's Storytime Meemaw, An Answered Prayer for Stories. It's on Amazon. You can find it at kingdompursuits.com. Like Joanne,
and it will be out January 5th.
Right, but you can pre-order it, which is exactly what she needs, and then go back and review it. So, what a great coming Christmas present or whatever. Go to kingdompursuits.com and order yours. And, oh, by the way, you got so much more. Truth coming at you on the Truth Network. That whole idea of the Nestea Plunge, that's on Encouraging Prayer. It's coming up next, followed by The Masculine Journey, starts here now. And then, oh, Nikita's Man Upstro. I can tell you, we're loaded for bear with truth here on the Truth Network. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, kingdompursuits.com.
This is the Truth Network.